This is Android Buffet, episode number 163, recorded September 1st, 2013, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1.
That's not our normal song.
I know, but I forgot my kazoo.
Okie dokie.
Okay.
Welcome to the Android Buffet.
Yes. I'm once again recording from a basement in the middle of nowhere, but I made some minor improvements here. As you may be able to hear, Dre, the stream sounds really good today.
I have the stream muted so that I can hear you without delay and without distraction.
No, I'm saying when you were listening to me troubleshoot earlier, did the stream sound good?
The stream sounded excellent, one might say.
And that is the BeagleBone Black.
So this is the Raspberry Pi Plus.
Well, not exactly. It's $10 more than the Raspberry Pi Plus. It's the same general idea, but it has several features that actually make it more ideal for what I'm looking for. Feature number one, it has a 5-volt input jack, so it's not trying to power off of half a milliamp from a USB charger, although that is an option. The Ethernet port is not sharing a bus with the USB port.
Nice.
So basically, I needed a few design changes in order to make a system on a board work for recording the show, and those changes worked.
Apparently. Good on you. Good choice. For $10 extra, I would call it worth it.
Anybody want to buy a pie?
Pie sucks.
Depends on what you want to do with your pie.
I know. Apparently, if you want to do a podcast, pie sucks.
Well, maybe I should add a second pie and see if I could do a mumble pie.
Oh.
Or a mumble bone.
Well, if you do that, then you'll double your price. Better just to go with what you got, because apparently it's working.
Well, except for the fact that the audio input back to you isn't working, but I'll look into that. I may go back to what I used to do when we first started this podcast. I used to plug a USB microphone directly into the Skype input so that you would be able to hear me well, even though it wasn't the same microphone that everybody else would hear, which is sort of what I'm doing today. I'm using the onboard microphone on my old Win netbook, which is running Skype. Same idea.
Interesting.
Actually, that occurs to me. I could have done that. This is the Audio-Technica microphone, which actually has both an XLR and a USB output. I wonder if I think they may run simultaneously. I could probably plug the microphone into the wind and plug it into the board.
Ooh. Won't that confuse it?
Well.
Try it.
Right. During a live show?
We live on the edge. Okay. We're rebels, dude.
Well, where did I put the cable? One second. Here, you entertain the troops. I'll go find the cable.
All right. So, in our other news segment, our intrepid guru, our collector of news, our writer of the show notes, has discovered that, as of a couple days ago, the compact cassette turned 50 years old. Yes, that's right. He found out, it's like, how could you find this out? This is incredible. That on August 30th, 1963, the compact cassette tape was revealed. Now, what you may not realize is that the compact cassette is what us old fogies would simply refer to as a cassette deck, a cassette tape. Because apparently, before that little bitty tape, there were some big tapes that, and the so-called compact cassette was quite the revolution. And then once you did the compact cassette, the micro cassette was not even really that big an advancement. Much like the mini disc was not that big of an advancement over the CD. Same technology, just a smaller space. I wonder how he's doing.
I'm doing fine. I just can't get the USB cord into the jack on the wind. Do I have this thing upside down? I don't want to jostle anything.
Research has proven that to get a USB plug into a USB port, you have to turn it over 3 times before it fits in. The original position when you pick it up is the so-called superposition, where it doesn't fit, where it is in neither the up nor the down state. Then you turn it over and it goes into the incorrect state.
How do I sound
now? So that when you turn it over the final time, it is in the correct state.
How do I sound now?
What?
How do I sound now?
Better.
Okay, so what you're hearing is the USB input out of the actual microphone, which also has the XLR input running into the analog board, which has a USB digitizer hooked up to it to bring it into the BeagleBone Black.
So let me get this straight. You have one microphone, but two outputs.
Yeah, this is an Audio-Technica ATR, I forget, 2000 and something that I bought. It probably says on the microphone what the number is. ATR 2100 USB. So it's designed...
Still, that's cool.
You should get one. It's designed to be both a... It actually comes with a free stand. It's designed to be both a USB and an XLR microphone. So this is the first time I've ever used the USB function on it.
Notice that it's not designed to be a USB or an XLR microphone. It's designed to be a USB and an XLR microphone. Apparently at the same time.
I did not realize that when I purchased it. Until I started reading people say, oh, by the way, you can use them both at the same time. And here I am. Isn't
that awesome?
So here I am sitting with my MSI Wind U100, which was my netbook for many years, with the BeagleBone Black. So the Wind is running the Skype connection. The BeagleBone Black is running the Icecast stream. And the mixing is being done by a Yamaha MG-102C mixing console, which, Jerry, you may remember from your trip to Charlotte. This is the one that I bought for the purpose of doing a live group recording, which I hope I'll have a chance to do again.
Looks like a taser?
No, I'm talking about the mixing board, not the taser. You remember I brought a mixing board?
Yes, no.
You don't remember? You know I had three microphones?
Yes.
And there was a board and a bunch of wires, and I told you how surprised I was that nobody at the TSA asked why I was hauling a mixing board around in my carry-on?
No.
Okay. That happened. Now, the thing that looked like a taser is also hooked up. The output of the mixing board is hooked into the line inputs of the Tascam DR40 linear PCM recorder, which is the thing that looks like a taser. And all this would fit into a single suitcase, although I can go even smaller because I could substitute for the MG-102C under this setup. I could actually substitute the Xenix 302 USB, which is my mini palm-held mixer. Is it depressing I do one podcast and own three mixers?
Hey, man, everybody's got their own...
Well, I think I should be more like Steve McLaughlin. Maybe I should do 12 podcasts a week. I think he's up to
12. Maybe. I don't know, though. You put a lot of time and energy into this podcast, and I personally appreciate that.
Well, I told you, if I did another podcast, I want to be the Jerry. I want to be the one who just shows up.
That's all I do. I just show up.
Yeah, so I want to be the one who shows up, and the other person could be the, you know, it could be sort of a role reversal thing. I'll still do the recording, but all of that preparation stuff, you know.
Would you be the Abbott or the Costello?
I don't know. I always thought of myself as the straight man, but I'm also a fairly portly individual, so I suppose I could go either way.
Well, no, you know, on a podcast, nobody knows you're a dog.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. Do you believe you're the Costello or the Abbott of this group?
I've never watched Abbott and Costello, so I don't know which one's the silly, funny one.
Costello.
Then I would be the Costello guy.
Okay, can you say, hey, Abbott?
I can, but I won't.
Okay. Okay, so I will not devolve into who's on first right now. But Jerry...
If you can do the who's on first bit, then that's most impressive.
But Jerry, do you know who's on first?
I'm not going to do this with you.
Okay, worth a shot. Yes.
I don't know it that well.
I didn't say you had to. I just asked if you knew who's on first. Okay.
Anyway. I do.
Okay. I used to listen to it when I was a kid. I listened to many classic radio programs such as Jack Benny, Burns and Allen, and of course, Abbott and Costello.
Oh, see, the who's on first bit is a standard part of any communication class in the Navy.
Really?
Yeah.
That is interesting to know. I was not aware that the Navy taught classic comedy. Was it because Abbott and Costello used to like to donate their time to the USO?
No, because it's a funny example of how communication can go wrong, even though people are speaking the same language.
Okay, I'll accept that. On an unrelated
and part. In the Navy, you need to do anything you can to make those classes entertaining, because you do the same classes a lot. Oh, yeah, man, I know more about sexual harassment than anybody I know, because, you know, it's a regular class in the Navy.
I'm glad that the Navy is so prepared to prevent sexual harassment.
Well, it's not just, they do classes on everything, sexual harassment, communication, sensitivity, blah, 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 blah.
I'll have to ask my uncle about that. He used to work for the Navy.
Yeah.
But happy Labor Day to you, Jerry.
Happy Labor Day. Shouldn't we be, like, not laboring or something?
Oh, is this a labor for you, Jerry? Is this work?
It's a labor of love.
Yeah, well, I took the day off. It's the first time, I think, in about 8 years that I haven't worked Labor Day.
And I'm sorry to hear that.
Do you know why it is I am not working Labor Day?
Because you're the junior guy?
Actually, I was going to go with for the first time in some years, someone other than me wanted to work Labor Day. It's a holiday. I get time and a half, and I work.
And if you're working, you would get more than that.
No, I'm saying I get time and a half if I work. If I don't work, I just get paid for the day. So I get paid for the day, and then I get paid again for being there if I work. But I didn't work because somebody else for the first time in some years wanted to work. So I let them. Not that I could have stopped them, but I usually volunteer because I work Sundays, and I never get a three-day weekend out of a Monday holiday. So what's the point? Might as well make the money.
Yep, sure.
Did you work today, Jerry? I know that your job is a little more flexible in its philosophy.
I did some work for my employer today, yes, but off the clock.
Okay.
Because I wanted to.
I went to a
pool party. I also went to the beach with my family.
I went to a pool party.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's been a busy weekend here. We had a classic music group, and then we had a pair of twin brother celebrity impersonators and a pool party.
Sweet.
Don't ask about the twin brother celebrity impersonators. I don't do the bookings around here. But, you know, I was invited, and it was free, so I went. Anyway, did you know that 1 in 5 American adults have neither smartphones nor broadband?
I'll buy that.
Do you think this is something that we should be rectifying as a society? Do you think that
we are?
Well, are you saying that you approve of Mark Zuckerberg's effort to wire the world?
I don't approve of Mark Zuckerberg.
Neither do I. But do you approve of the fact that that's his pet charity project, you know, by comparison to, let's say, Bill Gates, whose pet charity project is malaria and ruining our educational system in no particular order? I'm sorry, I couldn't resist getting a dig in there on that. But either way, he wants to make the world more connected to Facebook. Good for him.
Well, of course he does.
That's what I expect of him.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like the way Google provides so many free services, because the more you use the internet, the more you see their advertisements. I mean, it's awesome. It's self-serving, but it's awesome. And I guess we should consider Mark's efforts along the same lines, and I will try not to condemn him for such efforts.
That's probably a good idea. So this is a nice show so far, even though it's sort of a relaxed Labor Day show. I think we've had fun so far.
Okay.
You don't think so?
I think so.
Okay, well, let's talk about some...
We're like almost halfway into the show and haven't really talked about anything.
But according to one of the people last week, that's what they love about this show.
Maybe we should just rename the show Flying Androids.
Oh, that would make getting a logo even harder. Anyway, CyanogenMod 10.1.3, release candidate 1, is now ready to download.
Woot.
Well, let me ask you a question. Now that the Android experience has continued to be refined, do you think that CyanogenMod is as necessary as it once was?
Yes, more so. Not so much because it provides you access to new features, more because it is a political statement. It allows you to actually enjoy the freedom for which Android is the promise.
Well, you also have the fact that they also bring features that will never be released by carriers to certain phones to those phones. They continue to support items long past their prime, or whatever the carrier considers their prime. And, of course, whenever there is a closed Google feature, they do very hard to create a more open version that has more flexibility and freedom. For example, Photosphere is proprietary. They came up with PixSphere, which isn't.
See what I mean? It's a political statement. So, yes, I would say that it is even more necessary than it used to be, even if I personally do not take advantage of it, except for my Nook, which I need to see if I can update it.
Yeah, but you like to know it's there.
Absolutely.
Okay. Did you know that Hangouts has transitioned from H.264 to VP8, and that's allowed them to enable HD streaming?
So, boo and yay. Can I do that? I mean,
which one's which?
I feel strongly in both directions about this. Moving from H.264 to VP8, I am not a fan of. Adding HD streaming, I am a fan of.
Okay, so why are you worried about VP8?
Not worried about VP8. It's VP8 is, in my opinion, a relatively useless codec, in that it is just Google's pet project. I would prefer that they stayed on a standard H.264. I know that it is patent encumbered, but...
Well, isn't the next version of H.264 already out? Isn't there like a successor? Isn't there like a 2.65 or something? I remember reading about something. There was like a new version. So H.264 is standard, but you do need new standards to push forward the capabilities of technology as things progress. So
sure, but I guarantee you VP8 ain't that.
Okay, I will accept that. Moving along, Pressy is a $17 button that controls your phone through the headphone jack.
This is just weird.
Did you watch the video? It was even weirder.
I didn't watch the video, but I've read it, and I'm seeing the screenshot of it, and I'm just...
And the guy in a bear suit?
No.
That was in the video.
That's weird.
Yeah. Basically, the idea is if you want a button, this is a button that plugs into your headphone jack. And there's software that will respond to the button that plugs into your headphone jack.
I mean, I give them full props for ingenuity.
Well, no, I could see the usefulness of having a button like this, where you plug a button in and if you want to, let's say, take pictures in a more rapid-fire manner.
The only problem that I have with this is it seems like everything cool has now turned into a Kickstarter project.
I will agree with that. That annoys me to no end. So apparently Google responded to the controversy over the Chromecast. Apparently they shut down some of the experimental features that were reverse engineered by a developer. I always make sure, is it Kushik? I'm afraid I'm going to mispronounce the man's name.
Don't ask me about pronouncing nobody's name.
Oh, and I'd like to wish him a happy birthday. Apparently, since I was following his Google Plus page in order to keep track of his Chromecast adventures, my phone decided to tell me it was his birthday this week. Ah. Happy birthday to him.
Happy birthday.
So apparently he released Allcast, which was a way of taking local content on your phone and sending it to the Chromecast, and Google instituted an update to the Chromecast that disabled that feature, which made a lot of people worry that the Chromecast, which is most interesting to purchasers because of what developers could do with it, not necessarily with what Google has done with it so far, is never going to get that chance. Google responded that they're only going to shut people out until they finalize the software development kit someday.
Which doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, because why release it in the first place? Why not just say we're keeping it internal until such a time? Why let people have a software development kit if you won't let them use it?
No, it's not that. It's... Okay, when you're writing software and you want something that's reusable, the general rule is write three different things that use it. And if you do that, then you'll have a better idea of how it's going to be used and you'll be able to make it more usable in a wider instances. Why would they not let developers use the SDK in a way so that they can see how it's going to be used? I don't like it one little bit.
They did, except this individual reverse engineered it so that he could release an app that anybody could use instead of just whitelisted Chromecasts. So essentially he went around their approved development process because he was annoyed at the fact that there was a device that he would not be able to distribute his code for. So on one hand, he did violate the rules of their developer program. On the other hand, they aren't really clear about when they will actually allow developers to release apps using said development kit. But they do claim that they will not be shutting out independent developers indefinitely. But bear in mind, just to counteract this, a lot of the argument, goes back to Google TV, which is, one of the first things that a lot of media sites did is that they blocked Google TV from viewing their content, effectively making the Google TV useless in certain cases.
It is useless.
Well, no, I'm talking about for viewing content because so many providers of content have blocked it.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, can the Chromecast allow independent developers to use the device, but still make it an environment where content providers feel comfortable allowing their content to be played on it? Because if they don't get Hulu, who's interested in developing an app, if they don't get HBO, etc., then they're going to lose a whole big segment of the population who wants that service. So how do you balance those two competing claims? And I'm not necessarily saying that they're doing it well by completely ignoring the issue and saying, we will someday allow developers to do what they want. But until that day, even though most people bought it because they saw that that was possible, we're not going to do anything, which on one level seems to be a massive mistake.
I would concur.
Because I understand why they might want to hold off until they've, established partnerships and gotten the big players on board, and then they can open up for the little players. But the little players are what are going to get people to want to buy this thing.
Yep, because, yes.
And if you look further down in the rundown, Pocket Casts already has Chromecast support. But they can't release that functionality because Google's forbidding the release of any third-party apps until some details are finalized. And nobody knows what those details are or when they'll be finalized. So if Google said, we hope to have this process done by this time, even if they failed to achieve that, people would probably feel better. But right now, it could be 3 years. It could be 6 months. It could be tomorrow. Who knows? It really, you know, admittedly, it doesn't seem to be hurting sales of the Chromecast, but it does hurt its long-term future.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like Best Buy can't even keep them in stock at all.
Yeah, but a lot of the early adopters on this were based on the idea that more apps would be coming. But if you kill the independent developer community, more apps will not come because the independent developer community will have an app out tomorrow.
Yes.
The non-independent developer community, the people who are hired by HBO and what have you, will have an app out sometime in the next 4 quarters. So
maybe.
Yes. So it means that if you don't get these independent developers in, then next year, when you want your platform to go into version 2.0, when you start releasing, you know, Chromecast 2, or you start trying to get Chromecast functionality into Blu-ray players or into other third-party boxes,
mm-hmm.
no one's going to want it.
Of course not.
Why? Because who's on board? Oh, you have HBO. Oh, we have HBO already. Oh, you have Netflix. Well, everybody has Netflix. Oh, you have YouTube. Yawn. I'm not insulting YouTube. I'm making the point that every streaming device, except the Roku, has YouTube. I still don't understand.
Really? The Roku doesn't have YouTube?
It had an unofficial Youube channel, but there has never been official YouTube support for the Roku, which I never quite got. There's been some talk about why that is and why that continues to be the case, but it is a glaring oversight considering all the devices that do YouTube.
I wonder if there is a dedicated Netflix box.
It used to be. The dedicated Netflix box, the Roku started out as the dedicated Netflix box. They expanded it to do other things, but it was originally only Netflix.
Right, but now, is there a dedicated Netflix box? Because
no, they want to put
Netflix now Netflix is included in everything.
In varying experiences.
Right.
Not every device has a good Netflix experience.
No.
But no, I don't think there's one dedicated device because there are so many other devices.
Although, I guess the Roku is still a top-of-the-line Netflix player.
Yeah, it does very well.
I'm looking at the Wikipedia entry for a list of Netflix-compatible devices.
How long is it?
Not really that long.
Well, it's any Android device, pretty much.
Apple. And interestingly, those are not listed on here. That's listed under operating systems. I'm thinking set-top box.
Okay, well, WDTV Live, Roku. You have the various Google TV variants, which I'm not sure if they'd be listed on that under Android. What do you have that I'm missing here? Various Blu-ray players.
Yep. LG's got several listed.
Several smart televisions.
Consoles.
Yep.
Apple TV, Boxy.
What's a Boxy?
Ziboxy box. The Ziboxy box.
They are dead to me. I am going to be mad at Avner Ronin for some time, although religiously I'm required to forgive him in the next week or so, but
I'm sorry.
I'm required to forgive everybody. Jerry, just to make sure and cover it right now, have I wronged you in the past year or so?
No, not at all.
Oh, good. Then I don't have to apologize for it.
Nope.
Oh, and as far as I know, the live stream button on the website is no longer playing Indian music.
No, it wasn't.
It was.
It's not now. Yeah. Did you find out why it was doing that?
Well, do you remember when I switched from an independent server to one hosted by Category 5 Technology Television?
Yes.
I forgot to change the link. Somebody must have taken up the server I was renting before, and they're streaming Indian music. Somebody must have bought it from those people after I gave it up.
I would call that interesting.
Oh, well, apparently nobody.
This is an interesting question.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm looking at the operating system support for Netflix.
Yes.
Okay, so Windows supports 1080p Super HD.
Yeah.
Via Silverlight. iOS supports 1080p Super HD. Through HTML5.
Yeah.
This is the iPhone, iPods, iPads, Apple TV, etc.
Yeah.
Mac OS supports 1080p, no Super HD, via Silverlight.
Yeah.
What?
Well, admittedly, anybody who's smart would leave Silverlight because it never got the uptick that Microsoft probably thought it should.
And it's been abandoned?
Yeah, but bear in mind how long it takes to switch over. So eventually, Netflix will leave Silverlight, but until they do, they support Silverlight on two different platforms. They'll probably leave it at roughly the same time.
No, I'm just wondering why the mobile version of macOS uses HTML5, but the desktop version uses Silverlight.
Because you can't get Silverlight on an iOS device any more than you can get it on an Android device.
But apparently the HTML5 version is more capable than the Silverlight version on Mac.
You are correct, but the Silverlight version is older, and thus was essentially, they have not replaced it with a nice HTML5 version.
I think they should.
I think they should too. Then maybe it would work on any computer I owned. Probably wouldn't work on Linux. Never mind. Anyway, Archon's new car mount includes a programmable NFC tag built into the car mount.
Sweet.
I thought this was interesting because I keep looking for things to do with NFC, and I still have that set of tags that I bought that I thought might be better than the stock Samsung ones.
Right.
And I've been meaning to play with them.
But somehow time never shows up.
Well, yeah. There were thunderstorms today. And I was down in the basement making sure the podcast equipment worked, and you see how good a time investment that was.
Yep, that worked out.
I don't know. I didn't touch it. It sat down here untouched by anybody until I came back. I don't know why it stopped working. Anyway, I'll figure it out before the next time I use this equipment, and then it will fail again. Anyway, Dig Reader was released for Android, so yet another reader app.
Yawn.
People need to read, Jerry.
Great.
I'm not necessarily enthused about Dig, but I think people need to read. Shazam got a large update with a new user interface.
Yawn.
Shazam, if you don't know, recognizes music. But if you don't know what the music is, why are you listening to it? Firefox for Android has updated the UI in its nightly, so that'll eventually come to a stable. It still hasn't gained any large amount of traction that I've heard. But
it's fighting an uphill battle with Chrome and Dolphin.
I don't know. I went back to Dolphin because Chrome was slow at some points for me. But also, Dolphin has LastPass support, and I was tired of typing in my passwords.
What? No.
What?
When did...
Dolphin has had LastPass support for some time if you are a premium LastPass user, which I am. You didn't know this?
Man, I would pay the amount of money that I send LastPass on a yearly basis. I would send them like three times that without and be happy.
So would I, although they are not a sponsor. They could be. If they are interested in being a sponsor, we can sponsor them, and we can even throw in X marks. Well, same
company. LastPass, yeah. X marks?
I just don't like to store my bookmarks in Chrome, but I use fewer bookmarks than I used to anyway. But anyway, moving along, Google's keyboard has been updated to version 1.1 with long press numbers on the top row for tablets. Something that other keyboards already have, but this is the official Google keyboard. And this next one interests me, and I still have been meaning to take the Nexus 7, which is the only thing I have running 4.3, out to my car. I supposedly have a car that has support for AVRCP.
As do I.
But nothing has ever shown up on my radio from my phone.
Mine either.
So remember, some years ago on this very program, do you remember that I challenged you in regards to this as a developer?
You know what?
No.
I'm going to install this.
But you don't have 4.3.
It says it's Botifier. It says compatible with my device.
Really? Did they?
Yes.
Did they change it?
There are two ways to provide this application with info about notifications via accessibilities or via notification access.
Oh, okay.
The later one is...
This is new because when I did the rundown, it said otherwise.
Yep. It looks like you'll have to go into settings, accessibility, and enable Botifier.
Okay. No, I'm just saying this, that when I did the original rundown, it said for 4.3 only. So they must have done what's that other one? The notifications one that was designed to imitate the blinking of...
No, that's accessibility.
Yeah, isn't that what...
Notification is 4.3 only.
Yeah, but a lot of programs use accessibility as a way around the notification requirement. So they essentially read notifications through the accessibility function. But if you're telling me that they've updated the app so it'll work with older versions...
Looks like it was updated today.
So that would explain it, most annoyingly, that I was about to say, if you look here, what's new? Support for Android 4.0 and up. So essentially, it will do, basically, the problem is that you're unless you have a device that supports AVRCP, and I'm talking about Android, because I think AVRCP support was done in 4.3 when they redid the Bluetooth stack. So I'm not sure if it would work in an earlier version. Let's see what the reviews say. Works so far. Okay, a Galaxy Nexus, so I don't know what these guys own. So.
I wish it'd be nice if there was a way to search the reviews. You know what I mean?
I think on the web version, Ken, to some degree.
I'm looking on the web version, and...
Really?
Nope.
Okay, I haven't looked in a while. They keep changing it. But either way, I should just take the Nexus 7 and pair it with the car and see, because it definitely has the new Bluetooth stack, and it definitely should support AVRCP. So what I'm going to do is take Botifier and install it, since it is a free open-source app. I'm going to install it on the Nexus 7 and save it for later. I keep meaning to take it out to the car. Anyway, here's another interesting program that you might find interesting, Jerry. Cast to UPnP and DLNA for G Music. can stream music by emulating a Chromecast device to allow the adding of DLNA devices to the Chromecast menu in Google Music.
I don't understand anything you just said.
Okay. Let's say that you have a device allows for DLNA streaming.
Like damn near everything.
Yeah.
For example, say my DVD player. Yes. Or my the Blu-ray player thingy.
Yes.
Or my Xbox.
We get the point. You have
those two things. Okay. Yes.
And you want to send Google Music, which does not have a native app for your Blu-ray player, to that device from your phone. Somebody has come up with this little app that what it does is it essentially emulates a Chromecast device to the phone so that the phone's Chromecast function can be used to send to a DLNA device. So essentially you don't need a Chromecast, you just need something that's DLNA enabled, and the Chromecast functionality will support it. So it's essentially, it works on the phone to emulate a Chromecast connection and turn it into a DLNA connection.
Hmm.
I may not be explaining that well enough for you. But do you get the idea, Jerry?
Yes.
Okay. Action Launcher was updated to version 4.3 base code. So essentially it's using the latest version of Jelly Bean for its base. And now you can change individual icons. And it also has some more bug fixes. Yay, bug fixes.
Woot!
Okay. DirecTV's app was completely redesigned. I don't have DirecTV, so I don't know how that would affect me personally, but I'm sure somebody here does.
I do.
That's why I'm saying, have you tried the app?
I recently uninstalled it, but apparently now I can watch TV?
Can you?
Okay, that seems new. I don't remember being able to watch DirecTV on my phone.
Limited programming available. Stream live TV anywhere in your home. Watch hit movies on demand at home or on the go. So essentially, there are some programs you can watch on demand. You can stream live TV with inside your house, and select channels are available outside of your home.
Alrighty. I'm reinstalling it to check it out.
Okay, keep me posted. I have something similar from Time Warner. They finally allowed me to watch some things outside my house. I haven't checked recently. I know that I won't be able to watch CBS outside my house,
mm-hmm.
but I also won't be able to watch CBS inside my house because Time Warner shut them off. Fortunately, I have an antenna, but that's another story. Udder got a major update. Do you remember when we talked about Udder, Jerry?
I do.
So essentially, this is supposedly what voice response should be, or at least it's very impressive in what it's capable of doing. So it's still in beta, but it got a major update, and now there's a wake-up command. So you can do that whole thing that people like from Google, where you say something to your device and it wakes it up. Because I can just imagine walking around and yelling Udder.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm still not a big fan of the whole voice control thing. Well, but that's me.
Well, I don't know. I was sitting recently with my grandmother, and I was showing her how basically the new Google search function where I can ask it a question and it gives me an answer works.
Mm-hmm.
So we had this lovely conversation. Let me simulate it here. How many shekels are there in a dollar?
One U.S. dollar equals 0.62 Israeli new shekels.
Ask it how many bits to the dollar.
How many bits to the dollar? Well, it wasn't able to say it, but it did come up with the bit is equal to 1/8 of a dollar or 12.5 cents.
Wow, cool.
It wasn't able to speak it, though, because I'm assuming that it's not an official currency.
And I'm sure that has nothing to do with it. But hey, you've heard the 2 bits, 4 bits, 6 bits, a dollar.
Yes.
Okay.
But I'm saying that Google's voice recognition system doesn't know how to talk about that. But I'm sure it knows the answer to many other important questions. Let's see if we... What is the population of Jacksonville, Florida?
The population of Jacksonville was 827,911.
So 827,908 in 2011.
Ask it what the price of Bitcoin is.
What is the price of Bitcoin? It came up with the Mt. Gox exchange, but no, it cannot do the voice recognition for that. But that's the thing, you know, it's amusing for 5 minutes. But I'm not really sure, you know, am I going to be pressing the button and asking it questions all the time?
No, I wouldn't.
Well, no, I could see using it in my car. The problem is that my car has its own auto dialer system.
Yes.
And I can't find how to disable its auto dialer system and slave that to the phone's dialer system. Because if I press the button, it engages the car's dialer.
Right.
And I'm not going to reach down and press the button on the phone to engage its dialer. So I don't really know what to do about that.
So it'd be kind of nice just to have your car's microphone. I mean,
directly into it.
Your microphone is already connected. It'd just be kind of nice to have it always turned on. So if you said something to the phone, it would understand it.
Well, there is a function
via the wake up command.
Well, there is a third party application for that, from what I hear. It's apparently really bad on battery life. I think it's Open Mic Plus or something like that. Here we are. Open Mic Plus for Google Now. As featured on Lifehacker, Slashdot, etc. With Open Mic Plus for Google Now, access all the commands from anywhere on your phone. Simply say, OK, Google, or wave your hand in front of the screen. Tomorrow's
feature... Wave your hand in front of the screen?
Or. Basically, it can run in the background. It is 100% free. Great idea, but unresponsive. Edited. The latest update has fixed this problem. So this app was updated today. So I have right here, I have just installed it onto my Nexus 7. So let's see here. Hot word on. Sorry, your device does not support wave control. Listen while screen is off. Hot phrase. Say this to activate open mic. So it says I can say OK Google, or I could say something else. So I guess I will say OK Google. Let's see if it works. OK Google. This is riveting radio, isn't it?
It's funny.
Let's see. Are there any instructions here? Listen while screen is off. Hide notification. Hot phrase. So how do I... Open mic is running. So let's try it now. Okay, Google. No?
Okay, Google.
Okay, Google.
Oh, man, you're funny.
Okay, Google. Maybe I'm not enunciating correctly. Tablet? Okay, Google. Now the screen went off. Okay, Google. Maybe I should try it on my phone. Okay, that doesn't seem to work for me. I'll try that on my phone later if I'm bored. Anyway, so that's Open Mic Plus for Google Now, which sounds like, you know, essentially since Moto X came out with all of those unique features, people have been reproducing them. I do like the direct notifications one, which reproduces the blinking on my S3, but it does have to use the accessibility functions to get the notifications. The problem with that is, you know, it's not exactly elegant, but the nice thing is that my phone, you know, lights up with a little white box on it telling me that there's a notification. I find that a very, especially when the volume is deliberately off, which is during working hours. I like the blinking feature. It's very useful when I want to know what's going on, but I don't want to necessarily appear to be disturbed because I'm not supposed to be paying attention to my phone while I'm working. Anyway, Pushover, which is an app for notifications, was redesigned. It added swipe to delete, notification sync, and a few other things. So if you have put, I know we've discussed it on the show, but do you remember Pushover, Jerry?
No, but I have reviewed the notes and the stuff, so I'm familiar with it now.
Okay, well, I happen to use Pushover for several useful things. For example, do you remember when I explained to you the extremely geeky thing that I did in order to keep in contact with people on AOL Instant Messenger?
No.
Okay, then I'll try this again. Okay, I set up a copy of Bitlby, which turns instant messaging protocols such as AOL IM, you know, even the XMMPP, Yahoo Messenger, if somebody's still on that thing, into an virtual IRC channel. Then I hooked that up to ZNC, which is my IRC bouncer, which allows me to ever-presently lurk in the Android Buffet chat room.
Okay. This is starting to sound familiar.
Yeah, and ZNC has a protocol that if somebody says my name in a chat after a long period of idleness or sends me a direct message in an IRC chat, which would include the virtual IRC chat that AOL Instant Messenger is, it will generate a pushover notification which will be sent to my phone. So I don't have to be constantly logged into an IRC room if somebody wants to talk to me. Or I can add search words if I wanted to make sure that if somebody talked about a topic I was interested in, that I could be notified and instantly returned to the room from my virtual mobile device. I told you that's a bit geeky.
Yep.
Fun, though. So a few other things. Anyway, they have Notification Sync. It's actually the first app that I've noticed that admitted to using the new Notification Sync functions that I actually thought I would want to use that with. So if I get one of these notifications on one device, I can get it on multiple devices.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the first app that I remember saying that they'd updated to use that other than, which took a long time, surprisingly, Google Plus actually said they did it as well. But I'm surprised more apps, especially Google ones, haven't actually gotten that integrated. So a few other things. Next week, I will be back in my normal studio, and I have no plans to be away from my normal studio for the coming weeks. Although I am trying to plan my vacation, which is coming up. I have to take more time off. It's use it or lose it.
Sure.
I'm thinking of visiting Canada. It's not that far away. They use different money. It sounds like fun.
Huh.
Have you ever been to Canada, Jerry?
No.
Okay, I have.
Yes, I have.
I know, you've been to Montreal. I was in Montreal for a conference, and I never really left the hotel except to visit a Tim Hortons. I also was invited to a restaurant, but those people in Montreal are very snooty when you tell them that you would like a piece of poison. They just don't appreciate it.
I don't get it.
Well, my accent isn't as good as it should be. It's spelled P-O-I-S-S-O-N.
I don't get it.
That would be the French word for fish.
Okay.
So apparently, if you mispronounce the French word for fish off of the menu, well, maybe it's quite possible that they decided they would rather bring me some actual poison, but my French isn't good. I took Spanish in school. My Spanish isn't so good either, but I can't claim that I spent any time studying it. Anyway, moving along. Let's see. So if anybody has any ideas for my vacations and travels around Canada.
Finally!
What?
Okay, so I got the DirecTV app, and I've had it on for maybe 5 minutes, and I just now found something that I could, in theory, watch on my phone without paying $3.99. It was an episode of Dora the Explorer.
Do you have any intention of watching Dora the Explorer?
I'm seeing if it's going to play. Oh, great. It's in Spanish.
Isn't Dora the Explorer supposed to be in Spanish?
Huh.
I think
the quality's cool. Really good.
Okay.
Now, how do I exit?
Thank you. Anyway, if anybody has any suggestions about my upcoming trip to Canada, as possible locations for my trip, I have considered Toronto, Ottawa, Montreal, and Quebec City. I do not think I have time to do all four of them, and I am narrowing down the choices. They are all, by my calculations, within driving distance of the New York area. Admittedly, it's a 6-hour drive, but that's not too bad.
Nope.
So if anybody has any suggestions about visiting Canada, or if you live in Canada,
I have a suggestion.
Visit my city, and I will take you out and draw you an android on a napkin. Or some other strange Canadian custom, then feel free to tell us that too. Yes, Trey?
My suggestion is don't go to Canada.
Why not?
It's just, that's my suggestion.
Okay. I might not. Maybe I'll go somewhere else. I've been thinking about visiting Canada for some years, and I never actually do it. So it's quite possible I will not do it again. Maybe I'll stay home and clean. Or, you know, I'm bidding on a compressor limiter gate on eBay because I don't want to pay retail.
Sure.
Yeah, I could save my money and buy one of those. Anyway, let's see what else. Oh, yes, we are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's over there. And they're working on getting us a new sponsor, by the way, Jerry.
No.
Yeah, well, remember, they assisted us in getting that the last sponsor that you enjoyed saying over and over again? The three-letter one. But they're working on getting us another
sponsor. DYN.com.
Yes, they're working on getting us another sponsor. We're close.
Oh, okay.
Let's see, other than that... oh, yes, of course, if you'd like to leave us a voicemail, that's 201-2-WENICA. We'd like to hear from you. And just remember, there are no prerequisites for leaving us a voicemail other than the ability to use a phone. If you would like to just leave us an audio recording, if you have a link to your audio recording somewhere out on the internet, just send us an email or a message on our Contact Us page, and we will download it and play it. Barring that, of course, you may leave us that email or the Contact Us with a voice message, which will be dramatically interpreted by Jerry or myself and read. So you're welcome to do your own dramatic interpretation of your reading, if you wish. If not, we will be forced to do one ourselves. Feel free to insert stage directions.
And we will feel free to ignore them, or at least I will.
Excuse me, I will try my best. Guru laughs maniacally. Ha, 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 ha. I didn't say I'd be good at following stage directions. I'll try. Anyway, of course, if you don't like the Contact Us page or podcast@androidbuffet.com, where we will read your email, you can, of course, try Facebook. That's facebook.com/androidbuffet, Google Plus, and our Google Plus page run by Kevin McLaughlin, or our Twitter account @androidbuffet. All of these things, of course, will lead you to somebody who is involved with the show. If you don't want me to be involved, you can, of course, email Jerry. That's jerry.jones@gmail.com. Bear in mind, if something interesting happens, he'll hear about it anyway from me.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to comment on anything we've discussed in the show, anything from Android, me trying to talk to my Nexus 7, the BeagleBone Black and its streaming, why something that you tested and left alone for 3 hours and didn't touch would suddenly fail when you tried to launch a show, or whether...
I attribute it to dark forces in your basement.
Not my basement, it's my grandmother's basement.
Well, the basement where the stuff was stored.
Maybe it's this room. You know, I'm sitting in a room with a crib and butterflies on the wall. So my brother's bringing his kids. As you may or may not remember from last week's conversation, New Year starts this week. Or maybe you don't remember that from last week's conversation.
Nope.
Wednesday night would be the start of the Jewish holiday of Rosh Hashanah, which starts the celebration of the New Year. Also, it starts the 10 days of repentance. So just to make sure, if I have wronged any of you listeners, please accept my apologies. I don't think I did, but hopefully you can find it in yourself to forgive me before Yom Kippur. You too, Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
And a special message to Steve McLaughlin. I forgive you too.
I don't.
Okay. You don't? What did he do to you?
Nothing. I have no reason to forgive him, therefore I don't.
Okay. Well, I'm not really mad at him, so I probably shouldn't forgive him either.
No forgiveness for you, Steve! Yep.
Oh, well. I probably owe him a beverage of his choice, although I think he drinks and I don't, so I probably must buy him an alcoholic beverage in order to be in compliance with local rituals. Anyway, on that note, I suppose we should wrap up the show?
Yep.
Okay, well, may you have a sweet and happy New Year. Even if you do not celebrate said New Year, hopefully you can still accept that I would like it to be sweet and happy.
Sure.
Okay. I like to cover all bases. Just remember, Jerry, you know, you should always cover all bases. The day of judgment is approaching. You should be prepared. It's next week. Anyway, on that somewhat religious and semi-humorous and not at all serious note, have a nice evening and happy Labor Day.
Bye.